You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Arizona Diamondbacks. I am Allison Fitter from MLB.com. I am joined by my colleague Steve Gilbert, who covers the Diamondbacks for MLB.com. And as I was preparing for this conversation, I thought, oh my God, what are we going to talk about? There's absolutely nothing going on with this team. It's going to be 12 minutes of straight silence because it's boring and there's absolutely nothing doing. I'm totally kidding. There's so much going on. The Diamondbacks need a general manager. And while my vote personally is for Hal Morris because he played for the 1990 Cincinnati Reds, I'm guessing that there will be more that goes into the search than just that. So, Steve, give us some insight as to what's going to happen in the next few weeks. I've been reading a list of people and I'm wondering who isn't going to be interviewed for this job. Seems like a lot of people are up for it. So how do you see this whole thing going? Is this going to be a long, drawn-out process, or is Tony La Russa going to get this wrapped up quickly?
Well, it's been moving pretty quick these first few days. From some of the reports, he's already talked to the Cardinals director of player development. He's talked with Tim Papura, the former GM of the Astros. He's already talked with Dave Stewart. So, I mean, he's moving relatively quickly. I think what's kind of interesting, and he points this out in a call that we had with him, is that this is obviously his first time doing anything like this. So whatever you're used to seeing in a GM search, you might not see it with this one because he's just doing it the way he wants to, not necessarily the way it's always been done. And, you know, there's nine candidates, but he emphasized that there might not be nine interviews. There might be some of these candidates, which he wasn't specific as to which ones. The ones maybe less familiar with that he had gotten recommendations on, maybe he was just going to have a conversation with those people to see if it should lead to an interview. So it's going to be kind of fascinating to watch this process plays out. He's got nine names, and they're very diverse, very different backgrounds. And so it's going to give him a pretty good cross-section. It's going to be interesting to see what direction he ends up going because there's depending on who he chooses, there's all kinds of different directions that kind of thing he wants to take the organization.
Dave Stewart is really interesting. I think that got a lot of people's attention. He's getting a lot of ink just because it seemed like totally out of the box. He's currently an agent. He'd have to, of course, forfeit all of those duties if he's going to be the general manager. La Russa really sees a lot in him, a lot of the qualities in him that would make a good GM, but with just really no experience doing that. So what did you think when you heard his name emerge? He was like one of the first, too.
Yeah, you know, I was one of the first to kind of float his name, and a couple of people, you know, immediately kind of shot it down, saying, well, he's an agent, he's a successful agent, why would he want to do that? But he apparently is interested. He has had conversations with Tony, and Tony, you know, likes working with people that he's comfortable with and has a history with and knows very well, and certainly Stewart fits into that category. I think what also has impressed Tony is that, you know, Dave has a, you know, very varied background, I guess you could say. He was obviously an outstanding pitcher. He also served as a pitching coach. He also was an assistant general manager in Toronto for a few years and now a player agent. So he's kind of seen all different sides of things. He hasn't, you know, I think you like to point out, he's gotten a lot of ink because back maybe in the early 2000s, he was a GM candidate or his name would get brought up when GM jobs would come open, but not so much since he got into the player agent business. So it's going to be, again, that's a fascinating name, and I think it's somebody who's got to be considered, you know, one of the front runners just given his relationship with Tony and the way Tony speaks about him.
Now, with Kevin Towers, so he's staying on. Let me make sure I get this right. He's staying on and help out until a new GM is in place, and he's had a job offer, a different position in the organization, which he also says he's going to just kind of hold off and decide later. Everyone is assuming that is he'll wait and see who the actual general manager is. So is that strange, uncomfortable? Is that a normal transition that happen? I mean, sometimes, you know, in my experience, when a general manager gets fired, he's gone and we never hear from them again. But this seems to be a little bit of a different dynamic.
A slightly different dynamic because, yeah, he is going to hang around. They hope to have a GM in place in the next couple of weeks. You know, they're hoping to get it done before the end of the season, it sounds like. That's at least a tentative timeline. So it's not going to be a super long time that he's kind of, you know, watching over things. And at this time of year, there's not a ton of decisions or big-time decisions that have to be made as far as trades or obviously free agent signings, et cetera, et cetera. So on that standpoint, it makes sense. As far as the new GM, he wants to make sure that the new GM would be comfortable with him in whatever role it might be. Tony kind of floated the idea of him being in charge of pro scouting and kind of heading up that department and beefing up that department a little bit. It's kind of the same as when Kevin Towers took over for Jerry DePoto, who was the interim GM towards the end of the 2010 season. He asked Jerry to stay on. Jerry and KT spent some time together to just kind of – Jerry wanted to see if that was going to be a match, if they were going to be able to coexist and if what kinds of things KT wanted him to do. And he eventually ended up staying for a year before getting the Angels job. So it's not out of the question that KT could end up staying around. It's also not out of the question that it could be a GM he's not comfortable with or a role he's not comfortable with, and he could go be a special assistant someplace else.
He and Tony go back quite a ways. I mean, it seems like they had a nice friendship before any of this started, too. It's a funny business we work in because it just seems like that would be such a bizarre thing, even though it happens quite often that friends are firing friends. General managers fire managers, and they have personal friendships often. And, you know, sometimes this stuff just happens, but it seems like there is a lot of respect with everybody. There's an understanding, and it doesn't seem like anybody's being, you know, played, or I don't know what the correct word is for that, but it does seem like there's an open dialogue and that everybody's sort of on the same page at least.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when Tony was first hired. A lot of people thought that was going to be like, you know, KT was immediately going to be gone or gone soon thereafter, or was going to be very upset about it. Well, I'm sure he wasn't, you know, obviously thrilled about having somebody brought in above him. He was actually, you know, really, what's the word I'm looking for? He was actually seemed sincere in his desire that he wanted to learn from Tony. You know, he said he spent so much time knowing Tony as an opponent and not really getting to pick his brain on stuff, that to actually get a chance to be a part of, you know, an organization with Tony was intriguing to him. And I think that it's also interesting that when they announced this kind of change the other day, that they said that KT was kind of informed of this 2 weeks ago, that this was kind of the direction it was headed. And he kept, not only did he keep it quiet, but he also gave Tony some of those names that are on his list of nine that he's going to interview for the GM job. So, it's kind of maybe, I don't know if odd is the right word, or unique in how everyone's kind of gotten along throughout this.
Yeah, well, it's better than the alternative. So maybe other people will learn a little bit from this, even though I doubt. But let's switch gears totally. I saw, you know, Twitter kind of exploded a little bit just from a Diamondbacks perspective when Daniel Hudson appeared in a game for the first time in 799 days, according to my friend Steve Gilbert. Two Tommy John surgeries. It was his first appearance since June 26th of 2012, and it seemed to be this highly emotional experience, not just for Hudson, but for anybody who knows him, has covered him, has worked with him, has managed him, has coached him. So I do not know the guy. He sounds like a wonderful person, and it looked like the whole baseball world was pulling for him. So what was that experience like?
That was really kind of a unique deal. You know, here's a guy who was, you know, looked like he was one of the top young pitchers around, and then he blows out his UCL and undergoes his, you know, rehabilitation, and he's a week away. He was in his last minor league appearance when it blows out for a second time and has to undergo the surgery. And there was a time, you know, at least a few days after that second injury where he really was thinking about whether or not he wanted to have the surgery and go through this yet again, because it was just such a crushing blow to be so close and to have to go all the way back to square one. So I think there was a lot of people that just kind of got emotionally invested in seeing that as far as his teammates, because they saw him go through all the rehab. And what was really striking to me was the emotion that was in that clubhouse for it. I mean, Miguel Montero said, you know, normally you go out and kind of greet a relief pitcher when he comes into a game and, you know, make sure everything's on the same page. And he stayed behind the plate, he said, because he was worried if he went out there and looked at Hudson in the eye that he would start crying. So he decided to stay behind the plate. And you just usually don't hear those kind of emotions. So I guess it kind of touched a lot of people, just all he had to go through to get, you know, kind of back up on the mound.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, you like hearing these stories. It'll be really awesome if he is able to continue his major league career. And I guess that's kind of, nobody really knows what's going to happen. I wonder if there's any, you know, just kind of hesitancy or a fear in the back of his mind because of what happened when he was just so close to coming back the first time that I guess it could happen again.
In some ways, I was afraid to ask him that question the week or so before he was coming back. I mean, obviously, that was a question I just couldn't bring myself to ask it. But I did ask it the night after his debut. I said, you know, has there been much lately about – and he said, no, not as much as you would think. He's been able to kind of put it past him. And he said, you know, after this first outing, he just kind of felt like if it blows out tomorrow playing catch in the outfield, at least he made it back for one game. At least he proved that he could do that. So – certainly he's not looking for it to blow out again, but he seems to be at peace with it with all he's gone through. Now, that could, of course, I guess, change by next year when he's more used to pitching and doesn't want to give that back up, so maybe that fear creeps back in. But at least for right now, he's just thankful to be back.
Yeah, it's a good story to follow regardless of what happens. So, and we will follow it. So, Steve Gilbert, thank you so much for your time, and we will talk to you next week.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.